enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, to be thankful unto him and bless his name. At Friendship, we believe that worship is not about us, but it's all about God. We're not here so much to receive, but we're here to give worship and praise to our God who is worthy. We are in part two of a four-part series called Stand Strong. And as we consider the very interesting life of Samson, we learn how to stand firm, how to stand strong against forces of darkness that want to take us out. If you happen to miss last week, let me give you a quick rundown of what we covered. From his birth, Samson was set apart for God. He was called, he was chosen by God to bring about the deliverance of God's people from the oppressive hand of the Philistines. In order to accomplish this task, God had blessed Samson with supernatural strength. Inside Samson was more potential than you can even imagine. But the problem is that, like so many of us, even though Samson had great potential from God, he continued to make self-destructive decisions again and again. We summarized Samson's life with one statement. We said Samson was an incredibly strong man with a dangerously weak will. Just like many of us who possess so much God-given potential, and yet because of the weakness of our will, we end up making poor decisions. We learned three attitudes that often make strong people weak. The first was lust. Samson left his hometown and he traveled into enemy territory to pursue a Philistine woman who was off limits. Samson said, I want it. And then we observed his spirit of entitlement. He broke a vow. He touched a dead lion for a handful of honey. Samson said, I deserve it. And then it was pride. When he wasn't supposed to get near alcohol, Samson threw himself a bachelor party and he thought, I can handle it. And we watched as this strong man became very weak. Today we're going to discover another one of Samson's vulnerabilities. The key thought for this week is that, like so many of us, Samson was emotion-driven, not spirit-led. Say that with me. Samson was emotion-driven, not spirit-led. For those of you who are Christ followers, one of our issues is that we should be led by the Spirit in all that we do. But the truth is that we are often driven by emotions. The challenge is that many of us, especially those of us who are guys, we don't like to think of ourselves as emotional. We tend to think that women are emotional, and as men, that we're not. But church, the reality is that we're all emotional. And emotions are given by God, so emotions are not bad. We just shouldn't be driven by our emotions. The difference between the way men process emotions and the way women process emotions is very different. Generally speaking, women talk and men act. Women get upset about something and they talk and they talk and they talk. Men, can I get an amen? Women want to talk. Men, instead of talking, we just want to act. Listen, if Bridget's upset about something, she might call her mom, she might call one of her friends. She might sit down with a friend and they may talk it through. In all of my life, I've never had a dude call me and say, Jason, would you come over and sit on my couch so we can talk a little bit? I'm telling you, he probably wouldn't be my friend after that. It just wouldn't work. Men are different. We're different in the way that we deal with emotions. Men tend to take action. Women like to talk things through. Now, guys, I want you to be honest this morning. Men, how many of you would admit that sometimes your emotions have led you to do something that you should not have done? There's a couple liars here, huh? The problem is that because of our emotions, we act and we do the ungodly thing rather than being led by the Spirit. We want to do what's right. We really do, but our emotions just take over. And I don't know how this might play out for you. I don't know how this looks at your home, but maybe you work hard all day and you want to be more engaged with your kids. But when you get home from work, although you want to be more engaging emotionally, you're just fried. And so it's easier to sit back. It's easier to disengage. It's easier just to flip on the TV and watch TV all night. And you don't do what you really want to do, which is spend more time with your kids. Or maybe you say something or you do something stupid and you know that you should apologize, but because of pride, you just refuse. I'm not going to say it. You're emotion-driven and not spirit-led. Or maybe somebody does something and you don't want to explode in anger, but you do. And you end up like the Apostle Paul when he said in Romans chapter 7, he said, why is it that I do the things that I don't want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing? For many of us, it's because we are emotion-driven and not spirit-led. And church, that's why Paul, in Galatians chapter 5, help me out with this. Paul said, but I say, walk by the Spirit. How should we walk? Walk by the Spirit. And Paul says, when we are spirit-led, what will we not do? He says, we will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Because verse 17 says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you do not do the things that you please. The problem for Samson and the problem for so many of us is that we are emotion-driven rather than spirit-led. And let's watch how this plays out in Samson's life. Samson pursued a woman who worshipped a false god. He pursued a Philistine woman. And Samson reasoned. He said, I want to marry her. I don't care what God says. I don't care what my parents say. I want to marry this woman. And so they're preparing for the bachelor party. The wedding is about to go down. And because the bride-to-be is a Philistine, Samson is hanging out with 30 Philistines who were enemies of God's people. Look with me in Judges chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. Samson says to these 30 men, he says, let me now propound a riddle to you. If you will indeed tell it to me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes. But if you're unable to tell me, then you shall give me 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes. So Samson suggests they have a battle of the wits. Because as everyone knows, men have to compete all the time. And we have to compete about all things. So Samson bet them 30 pieces of clothing that he would win. The whole wager thing was kind of crazy because if Samson loses, he's got to come up with 30 outfits. If the 30 men lose, they come up with one apiece. But it's game on. And they said to him, they said to Samson, propound your riddle that we may hear it. So Samson said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong, something sweet. If you're here last week, what kind of animal did Samson destroy from the cat family? A lion. Scripture says that he just ripped this lion apart. And then what did he do? He promised God that he wouldn't touch anything dead, and yet we find in Scripture that he scooped out of the lion that he had ripped apart a handful of honey. And in doing so, he compromised his vow before God. And friend, those actions play into this riddle. So in verse 14, the riddle is, out of the eater came something to eat, out of the strong came something sweet. What's he talking about? He's talking about the lion. He's talking about the honey. The strong and the eater, the eat and the sweet. He's referring to the lion and the honey. But for 3 days, the Philistine men, they could not give Samson the answer. And so the Philistines, they're angry, they're losing. And so these men, they go to the woman that Samson is to marry, and they said, you need to trick him. Somehow, you need to get the secret out of him. And if you don't get the secret out of Samson, we're going to burn you and your father, and we're going to kill you. So the bride used a woman's greatest weapon. When in doubt, cry, right? It works on me every time. When in doubt, cry. So for 7 days, she cried. She says, Samson, you don't love me? Samson, you must hate me? And finally, Samson caves into the tears, and he tells her the secret. Samson divulges the answer to the riddle, and his soon-to-be wife, she tells the Philistine men. Let's pick up the story in verse 18. It says, so the men of the city said to Samson on the seventh day, before the sun went down, that they answer his riddle. They said, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And Samson said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. And Samson is furious. He's mad because they figured out his riddle. He was angry because he lost the bet. He's embarrassed, he's angry, and he says the stupidest thing ever. If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would have not have solved my riddle. I looked this up in the Hebrew. I want to give you a little translation of what Samson said. He said, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved the riddle. What an arrogant jerk. Samson was a loser. He made a bad decision. And so, guys, there's got to be a lesson for us, right? Two things very quickly. One, don't ever let another man plow with your wife. And secondly, don't ever call her a heifer. And all the women said, yeah. I don't know why I find that so funny. Don't plow with my heifer. But let's watch as Samson caves into a weakness that I think so many of us battle with. Rather than responding by the Spirit of God, Samson reacts with emotion. Remember that he is emotion-driven instead of Spirit-led. And he falls victim to two emotions that really take strong people down. And maybe you can relate to these as I can. The first emotion is that anger will take strong people down. Anger will take strong people down. The scripture explains how Samson burned with anger. Judges 14 verse 19 says, Samson went down to Ashkelon and he killed 30 of them, them being the Philistines. And he took their spoil and he gave the changes of clothes to those who told the riddle. And say these next three words with me. And his anger burned. His anger burned and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his friend. Now some of you are questioning, what just happened? Samson lost the bet, and before the wedding started, he went on a killing spree. How long does it take to kill 30 men and to get their clothing and make it back? It takes a little while. And so the bride's father, who had been waiting for Samson to return, the guests are all gathered, and it's becoming an embarrassing situation. And so the father decides, look, my daughter is of marrying age. Samson's not here, so I'm going to give her to another man. And that's exactly what happened, exactly what he did. Now, you can imagine when the hot-headed Samson returns, he's already in a bad mood after losing the bet, and now he goes into a rage. Samson is so mad at the Philistines, he took 150 pair of foxes, and he tied their tails together, and he put a torch in between their tails. And he lit the torch and let the animals loose on the Philistine fields where they were growing their crops. You can imagine the chaos. 150 pair of foxes with fire in between them running around like crazy. And because of this, for all practical purposes, Samson burned their fields. He destroyed their crops. And as you might guess, the Philistines are furious. And so the Philistines, they retaliate. They go and they burn the woman who should have been Samson's wife, and they burned her father. They burned them both and killed them. What do we see happening? We see it so many times in Scripture. Samson's emotion-driven anger cost him, as it often costs many of us. And so here's the challenge. For many of us, anger is our negative default emotion. For example, if you embarrass me, I don't just feel embarrassed, but I get angry. I'm not only embarrassed, but I'm angry. My attitude is, well, I'll show them that they can't do that to me. You know, it's really as simple as this. If a man stubs his toe on a chair, what does he do? A woman might nurse her toe back. A man, what's he going to do? He's going to turn around and kick the chair a second time. He's going to kick the chair and say, stupid chair. It's a negative default emotion. But really think about this. What did Samson have to be angry about? Samson was the one who pursued the wrong woman. He was the one who decided to marry the Philistine. Samson's the one who ignored God's instruction. He's the one who taunted the Philistines with a riddle. He was the only one who knew the secret, and he gave the secret away. He is the one who left his wife at the altar to slaughter the Philistine men. Samson is the one who burned the Philistine villages and their crops with the foxes. Listen, Samson is mad at the world, but most of his mess was his own fault. But church, that's where so many of us, I think, end up living. We're angry at the world when we should be angry at ourselves. Does that sound familiar? I mean, I know people who say, I hate my boss. I hate my job. When in reality, they're mad because they didn't finish college. They accepted a job that they feel is beneath them. They're mad at themselves, but they're taking it out on someone else. I hear a man say, my wife won't meet my physical needs. when he hasn't met her emotional needs in months and should be held accountable for that? Or some will say, you know, I'm mad at God. I can't believe God is making me go through this. And the truth is, you are where you are because of your unwise decisions. And yet you're blaming it on God. And friend, if this describes you, it's time that you own it. I can tell you, it's been me in different seasons of my life. Times when I have been driven by the emotion of anger rather than being led by the Spirit. Be honest, for many of us, it is our anger. It is our outburst. Our anger gets us into trouble. We should be led by the Spirit, but instead we are driven by the emotion of anger. And I pray that there will be some today who will call it what it is, that you will call it sin, and that you need to confess it. There are some apologies that need to take place today. Some of us need to apologize to a spouse or to a child. Maybe you need to acknowledge this morning and just say, God, I want to be led by your Spirit instead of driven by my emotions. So the first problem is that Samson was burning with anger. The second thing we must avoid is that pride will take strong people down. Pride. Samson was filled with pride. Still dealing with his anger in Judges 15, Samson goes out, and because of the strength God had given him, notice what he does in verse 15. It says, he, Samson, found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, and so he reached out and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Now, can we pause for just a moment? This is like UFC on steroids times 1,000 plus God. I mean, think about it. Under the power of God, all credit has to go to God, but Samson takes down 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey. Friend, there is nothing impossible with God. Amen? And if God wants it done in his power, it will be done. But notice who takes credit for this. Verse 16. After this God event occurs, Samson says, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made a donkey of them. With a donkey's jawbone, what does he say? I have killed 1,000 men. Church, we see a very raw, direct case of pride. When he says, I made a donkey out of them, that's the Bible translators being very polite. It's another word for donkey, and that's what he said in the Hebrew language. Samson, he is so full of pride. Why is it that so many of us battle with pride? We say, look at me. Look what I did. Do you like me now? I'm strong. Have I won enough to impress you? Have I conquered enough pride? It is born out of insecurity. Our pride is always born out of our insecurities. When we don't know who we are in Christ, pride is the first emotion that rises up, and friend, it will take us down. Let me remind you, Scripture says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Scripture informs us that pride comes before the what? Pride comes before the fall. But for so many of us, we say, hey, look at me. Didn't I do good? Don't I have worth and value because of what I have accomplished? We are prideful people. And the flip side of pride is equally as dangerous. It's not, will you like me for what I've done? It's, I don't need your help. I've got this. I don't ask for help when I'm in need. I don't want anyone to know where I'm weak. Friend, pride will take the strong down. And the reason many of us struggle with pride is because we want to be the main character in the story. We want it to be all about us. We want to win, and when we win, we're proud. And when we don't win, we're angry because we want to be in control. We want to be the main character in the story. But listen to me, church, we are never the main character of the story. Who is? God is always the main character in the story. He always is. When we understand that God is the main character, then we won't be tempted to be driven by our emotions, but instead we will be led by the Spirit. That's why Paul said, Galatians 5, we read it earlier. Paul said, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you do not do the things that you please. Friend, if you are continually driven by emotion, you will end up like Samson, a man with great God-given potential who continues to self-destruct. But on the other hand, if you would just say, yes, I may feel emotion, but I don't want to be driven by them. I want to be led by the Spirit instead of being led by anger and pride. That's when God becomes the main character in your story. And friend, when God is the main character, suddenly you're not living for the approval of others, but you're living for the approval of God. And that is life-changing. It changes everything. So what's the answer? Here's a final thought. The final thought is this: allow your need to drive you to God, and God will meet your greatest need. Church, I think this is so powerful. That's what happened to Samson. After he killed 1,000 men, Samson realized that he was now public enemy number one. He knew that he was in trouble. I mean, for Samson, either the Philistines are going to kill him or he's going to die of thirst out in the middle of the desert. So watch what he does. He lets his need drive him to God. Judges 15, verse 18. It says, "Then Samson became very thirsty, and he called to the Lord. No longer is he full of pride, but he's humble. Humble before God. And Samson said, 'God, you have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised. But God split the hollow place that is in Lehi so that the water came out of it.'" Church, God is now the main character in the story. And it says, "When Samson drank, his strength returned and he revived." Friend, when you return to God, his strength will empower you as you are revived and renewed. Remember that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. When we let our need drive us to God, he can meet our greatest need. And that's what Samson did. He let his need drive him to God. And that's when God gave him water and his strength returned and Samson was revived. Church, the good news is that today, if you had enough integrity, if you had enough integrity to say, "God, I've been driven by emotion. God, I've been driven by anger and pride, but I want to be led by your Spirit." If you will allow your need to lead you to God, he will meet your need and he will begin to do things in your life that you can't even imagine. Everything that you do, you will begin to do for the honor and for the glory of God. And church, my prayer this week has been that the Spirit of God would stir within hearts. I pray that God would cause us to rise up and to live with hearts that seek after him. That we would be empowered by his Spirit and strengthened by his word. Some of you this morning need to humbly say, "God, I need your help. God, I need to be revived. I need to be renewed. I want to be led by your Spirit so that I don't gratify the desires of the flesh. God, I want your Spirit to be my guide. I want to be Spirit-led." Some of you this morning, when you survey your life, you would readily admit and say, "You know, I've really blown it. I've messed up big time." And friend, the truth is that we've all sinned. Every single one of us has sinned against God. And the fact that you're aware of your sin is good, because you need to let your sin drive you to God so that he can save you this morning. I want you to know that God is so crazy about you. He loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son, who was without sin, perfect in every way. And on the cross, Jesus became sin for us when he shed his blood and died for your sin and mine. And the Bible explains that after they placed Jesus' body in the tomb, on the third day he rose from the dead, so that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Some of you this morning, you're hurting. You're wrestling with guilt and with fear. Where do you stand with God? When you place your faith in Jesus, every sin that you've ever committed will be forgiven. You become a brand new person in Christ. The old is gone. Everything becomes new. Friend, would you allow your need to drive you to God today? Would you allow the Lord to meet your greatest need? Friend, call upon Jesus and he will hear your prayer. And he will forgive your sin. I've discovered that you will never be happy until you put God first in your life. And you'll never put him first until you surrender your life to Jesus. If you're tired of the life that you've been living, then friend, make a fresh start today. Right where you are, you just say to him, "Jesus, save me from my sins. I believe you died for me so that I can live for you. As I turn from my sin, God, fill me with your Spirit so that I can serve you the rest of my days. After we receive God's gift of salvation, the Bible tells us that God wants us to identify ourselves as his follower. And baptism is a powerful way for us to confess our faith in Jesus Christ. Some of you have trusted Christ for salvation, but you have yet to follow him in believer's baptism. And I would urge you this morning, would you take that step of obedience today? Will you follow him in believer's baptism? Will you identify yourself publicly as one who has trusted in Jesus Christ? If you believe God would have you join this church family, then we invite you to come and partner with us as we seek together to do his will. In a moment, as we stand to sing, you meet me down front and you share with me your decision to follow Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your Spirit. Father, for the way that you draw us when we're lost and we don't know you. Father, your Spirit is what convicts and makes us aware of our need. God, I pray for those here this morning who are without a relationship with you. God, I pray that their need would draw them to you this morning. And Father, they would find the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation. God, I thank you that as believers, your Spirit is alive within us. And Father, that you use your Spirit to guide us and lead us. Lord, we acknowledge there are times that we've been led by anger and we've been led by pride. And Father, the result is never good. We self-destruct when we are led by our emotions instead of led by your Spirit. So Father, we just acknowledge that this morning. We pray that you would renew us and revive us, strengthen us, that we as your people would be Spirit-led, not just day by day, but moment by moment. That you would continue to equip us to live this life that you called us to live, the way that you want us to live it. Father, we pray that you would move this morning during our time of invitation. That, Father, you would add to your church, that you would grow your kingdom as you move in the lives of your people today. We give you all the praise and honor, for it's in Jesus' name we ask these things.